Well, good morning, everybody. We're so glad to be here with you today. And what a gorgeous day the Lord has given us. I was praying on the way here this morning. I said, Lord, this is the day you have made, and I'm just excited to see what you're going to do with it. And if you have a Bible with you this morning, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Mark and chapter number 10. Gospel of Mark and chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10, beginning at verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them and bless them. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we want to give you thanks for your word. We want to give you thanks, Lord, for this day that you have ordained, Lord, for the people that you have brought here in this place today to worship you. And Lord, we, like these children that were brought to you for a blessing, Lord, we come before you today asking for a blessing, Lord, that you might touch us, Lord, that you might pray and intercede for us as you did these children, that you might bless us here with your presence, with your word, and with your will today, Lord. And we ask you to do all these things together in the name of Jesus. And the church said, Amen. Amen. You can be seated, folks. We find here in the Gospel of Mark and chapter number 10 that Jesus has been teaching here his disciples and others that are there with him. And he takes opportunity here as these young children are brought to him, that the Lord Jesus begins to teach them about the children. And the first thing that I want you to understand is the correction regarding the children. This passage begins here with a wrong rebuke in verse number 13, because as these children, these young children were brought to him that he should touch them. The Bible says that his disciples rebuked those that brought them. They rebuked them because they brought these children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was most certainly a wrong rebuke. And really what they wanted to do was they wanted to ignore these children. And what you find is that the Lord Jesus Christ was very upset at this. As a matter of fact, it said here that when he saw it, he was much displeased there. And verse number 14, Jesus was bothered by this. He was much displeased that it really means that he was afflicted or very, very upset. The Lord Jesus Christ was mad about what had happened here when his own disciples rebuked them that brought these little children. And I was reminded as I read this that there are a few times that we see Jesus outwardly expressing his anger here during his ministry on the earth. And one of those I can think of had to do with his father's house. Remember, we actually read that passage earlier this morning, that Jesus said that my father's house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. As a matter of fact, Jesus was so upset that he began to flip the tables of the money changers and those that sold doves. And Jesus had a righteous indignation about what was happening there in his father's house. But Jesus is not only zealous for his father's house, he's also zealous for the children's hearts. And because of the fact that his disciples were pushing these people away that were bringing the children, Jesus was very upset. And I believe that we could call his response the right response there in verse number 14. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Folks, can I just tell you that children are important to the Lord Jesus Christ? and that children are important to God. As a matter of fact, he says of such is the kingdom of God. In other words, much of the kingdom of God is made up of children or people that have humbled themselves to the point of being like a child. Amen. And I want to recall to your memory that it was through children that the Lord chose to bless the world and bless all the earth. You remember he said through your seed. What's he talking about? He's not talking about that little black thing you find in the middle of an apple, although it's something sort of similar like that. He was talking about children and the posterity that would come after them. The Lord also destroyed nations because of their mistreatment of children. Those that were sacrificing their own children and acting in that way. And the Lord also came himself when he chose to enter into the world and enter into the time and space that we are in here in this world. The Lord came not as a warring king, but as a humble child. The Lord loves children. And he is partial to children. And he says to the disciples here, suffer them. In other words, allow them to come unto me and forbid them not. So there's a wrong rebuke. There's a right response. And then there's a powerful truth there in verse 15, where Jesus says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Now, what exactly does that verse mean? Does that mean if you're not saved when you're a little child, that you can never be saved? That's not what it means at all. He's not talking about age when he says to receive the kingdom as a child. He is talking about our attitudes and not our age. He's talking about being humbled, being willing to submit and surrender and having childlike faith before the Lord. Back in Matthew chapter number 18, if you'd like to turn there with me for just a moment, as Jesus is communicating this powerful truth in this passage here in Matthew 18, Jesus talks about imitating the children. Matthew 18, verse number 1, the Bible says that at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Boy, isn't that just like disciples? I believe that this is how disciples often were in Jesus' day. And I think oftentimes it can be how disciples are in our day too. Brother Lance taught us a lesson here this morning about being humble and being broken before the Lord. And the disciples were being anything but that here in this passage. Jesus, verse 2, called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The disciples here gathered in the presence of their king, Jesus, are in the middle of a spiritual gang of King of the Hill. Did anybody ever play that game when you were kids? We played King of the Hill sometimes when I was a kid, and you'd get up on top of whatever it was you were playing on, and you'd kind of wrestle and fight around and see who could stay on top, right? The idea was the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches about humility and love and care of others. The King of the Hill is the one who struggles to get to the top and then shoves anyone else down who tries to come up there where he's at. And here the disciples are in the midst of this little spiritual game of King of the Hill. Which one of us are the greatest? And you know what? Jesus comes and takes them all away from the hill, and he sets a child up there in that place. He says, if you want to be great, you're going to become like this little child. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells them that except you be converted. Except you be converted. That word that's used here, we find it 19 times in the New Testament. Every time that it's used, except for this one, it is interpreted as being turned. Being turned. You know what Jesus is saying? Except you change your mind. Except you repent. That's what the word repentance means, is to change your mind about the way that you're thinking. Jesus says, except you be converted there in verse 3 and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does he mean, become like a little child? He's saying, be humble. He's saying, be receptive, be responsive, and be dependent. Those are all things that little children do. And I think it's important that he pointed out little children, because the older we get, the less like those things we become, right? And so little children, they come and whatever you tell them, They trust you, right? Little children don't mind holding your hand. As a matter of fact, they desire to hold your hand. They don't want to get lost. They don't want to fall astray. They're worried about, you know, being taken care of. They're worried about strangers and the danger that awaits them. And Jesus says, unless we become like little children, then we cannot enter in to the kingdom of heaven. I believe that we cannot come to Jesus unless we come to Jesus as children with childlike faith and full dependence upon Him and Him alone. Amen. Folks, I think there's a lot of people in this world that have a knowledge of Jesus. They may even believe that He exists. But boy, they're adding a lot of other things to their salvation. You start talking to some folks about their relationship with Christ and about their salvation, and oftentimes it's not long before you start hearing about what they do. Well, I do this at my church, and I do this with this organization, and I help this way, and I do that, and I do the other thing. Friend, I want to encourage you to be like a little child and to put all of your faith and trust on Jesus. Amen. Just like we talked about last week, when you jump off a bridge with a parachute on, you don't keep hanging on the bridge, right? And you don't start pulling on your boot strings and all the things that you had apart from the parachute. You can pull your boot strings if you want to, but it's not going to help you when you get to the ground. We need a parachute named Jesus. Amen? And we put all of our hope and our faith and our trust in Him. Peter would say it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2. He said that he compared us to newborn babes. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And in order to be a newborn babe and to desire the milk of the word and to grow, then we have to have a desire for that milk. We have to understand that we need that milk, that we're not full grown. No child, when you brought them a meal, ever looked at you and said, "That's okay, I'm done growing. I don't want anything else." Right? We should desire the milk of the word, that we might grow thereby. So Jesus, in imitating children, he tells his disciples to be converted, and he says to become as a child. He also, later in this passage, tells them, beware, because he says in verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Friends, I'll tell you, Jesus takes this pretty seriously. If we come along and offend the faith of a young one that believes in him, he said in another place, woe unto you, right? Woe unto us. It is important how we interact with children. So this is the correction regarding the children. And one last point here, that word receive that we read there in verse 5, where it says, whoso shall receive one little child, the meaning of the Greek there is actually to lead by the hand. To lead by the hand. Isn't that how it often is that that's our responsibility, is to lead the children by the hand and to lead them to Jesus. And the reason that we need to lead them is because of the condition of children. One of the things that we know is that children are lovely, they're wonderful, they're precious, they're a blessing. The Bible says that they're a heritage from the Lord. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Amen. Children are all of those wonderful things. Children are also lost without Jesus, unless they come to faith in Him. That children are saved the same way that you and I are. We need to understand today the condition of children without Christ. I've been reminded of this as we've begun this LifeWise program and being able to interact with all of these children every week. What a wonderful thing it is. And one of the things that has really blown me away is the hunger of these children. They want to know. They want to learn. They're asking questions. They have a desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's hard for us sometimes when children that are that, and I don't know every child's heart. Let me just say that. I can't look at a child and say, you're saved and you're not and you are. Neither can I do that with you. That's between you and God. Amen. But the Lord knows them that are his. And at least in my own case, I know that when I wasn't his, I knew it. I knew it. And these children, it's when they're so precious, it's hard to look at them and realize that these children are lost. Very likely that many of them are lost. And that's why we're there telling them about Jesus. We had a young lady ask us a couple weeks ago, what's a Bible? Didn't even know what a Bible was. And we said, well, praise the Lord, you're going to find out what a Bible is. That's what you're doing here. We're going to take the Bible and we're going to open it every week and we're going to read the Word of God and you are going to find out. But friend, listen to me now. I know that we have some parents in this room and we have some grandparents in this room. Our precious little ones, they're lost without Jesus. Amen? Just like you and I are. And Jesus placed an incredible amount of importance on the children, and especially, don't miss this, the children coming to him. The title of the message today is Bring Them to Him. Bring them to me, says Jesus. Amen? Let me ask you today, what children do you have influence over? What children do you have involvement with? And what are you doing to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to me, we have, especially as parents and grandparents, we have no greater responsibility, there's no greater calling for us on our lives than our own personal relationship with the Lord, and then in our responsibility to lead our children and our grandchildren to the Lord. John said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk with the Lord. I'm trying to remember which brother it was. Was it Simeon that said of Benjamin, how shall I go up to the father except the lad be with me? Listen, I can tell you one thing. I don't want to go up to my father except the lad be with me. Amen. And I want to do everything that I can to lead my children and those that are around me. And we have a responsibility to these children, to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Children are lost apart from Christ, and they desperately need his blessing, but how will they get to him? I think of the passage there in Romans where it says, how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Of whom they've not heard. Listen to me, there's a lot of things that we do with our kids that are important. And I'm certain that I've not done as good a job as I should have done. And my family will tell you that I there's a lot of things that are important to me in our family life. We work a lot, we play a little. And I try to take time to play a little. I try to remember that we need to have a good time every now and then. We need to spend time together doing things other than responsible things. But there's no greater thing that I can do with my children than to teach them about the Lord. And I heard it said one time that you should share the gospel with everybody you come in contact with and also use words when necessary. We say a lot to our kids in what we don't say. We say a lot to our kids in the way that we live our lives, the choices that we make, the way that they see us respond in difficulty and in challenges and in moments of just being upset. Life, really. We all face it, right? And our kids are watching, whether we're paying attention. We might not have said, now, Johnny, I want you to sit down and watch how I handle this. We might not have said that, but you can bet that he's watching and he's listening. Amen. Let our, not just our lips, let our lives be such that they point our children to Jesus Christ. Listen, we've got them for such a short time, and they are a gift from God, and he has given them to us that we might point them back to him. Amen. That's our job. That's our responsibility. Not a single one of us are going to stand there and the Lord's going to say, well, in your lifetime, I gave you this amount of money and I want to know. And I do believe we're going to give an account for things. Don't get me wrong. But the Lord puts he placed importance on people and on souls. Inside of that child is a precious soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And either it's going to be in the presence of the Lord for all eternity because of His saving grace and because they've come to faith and trust in Him, or that soul is going to spend an eternity in hell. And I know that's not anything that any one of us want to think about for our children. But folks, I can't be a respecter of persons. I'm telling you the truth this morning. And so what are we doing to reach the children and to bring them to the Lord Jesus? We notice the caring of the children there in the very first verse that we read back in Mark chapter number 10, because the parents brought them to Him. Jesus was there teaching, and they got word that Jesus was in the area. And these parents brought their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand the context of when this happened, because we're talking about a time 2,000 years ago there in the Middle East. It was very likely not an easy thing for them to do. I can tell you they did not get into their air-conditioned Lexus and drive a couple of blocks down the street and walk into an air-conditioned building and all in ease and comfort. I'm sure there was a great effort involved for these parents to carry their children to Jesus. And as I sit here today, I'm certain that there are people here in the crowd today that understand what it is I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about just the journey or the walk. There are some of you that have labored on your knees for your children and your grandchildren for years and years. There are some of you that have sacrificed many things because you want your children to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a responsibility of a good parent, that we would not only make sure that we have the right relationship with Christ, but a responsibility to bring our children with Him. And what we find is that when we bring them to Jesus, that Jesus has compassion upon them. Amen. We see compassion on the children. When the children were brought to Him, Jesus, first of all, after He rebuked His disciples, the Bible says that He laid His hands on them. That I want you to know that when you bring your children to Jesus and your grandchildren to Jesus, that He is involved in their lives. He will put His hand on them. He took them up. I think about my poor parents. Many of you know my testimony that I grew up in church, but I wasn't really saved when I was young. And I can't imagine the heartache that I brought to my mom and my dad when I was in those years, when I was away from Christ. But I'm telling you that Jesus had His hand on me all of that time. Now, I didn't have my faith on Him. And I'll tell you, if I would have perished during that time, I would have spent an eternity in hell. Praise God, He is patient and long-suffering. But I look back now and I see the people that Jesus brought into my life and the events that He allowed into my life and the way that He worked. He had His hands on me all the way. I didn't realize it, but He did. You bring your children to Jesus, He'll have His hands on them. Not only did He lay His hands on them, the Bible says that He lifted prayers for them, that he was praying. That was actually one of the reasons that they brought Him, their children, to Jesus, so that Jesus could pray with them. He not only is involved, but He also intercedes. Amen. Does it bless your heart to know that right now, as we're gathered together, that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for all of His children? That includes you and me. Amen. Jesus is involved and He intercedes. But then it says that Jesus blessed them there in the last verse, that He took them up in His arms and He put His hands upon them and He blessed them. And you know what's interesting about that? In this culture that they all lived in, it was commonplace that the person that would give the blessing over the children would be the father. That was the father's responsibility. We see that in the Jewish heritage. We see that back with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They would put their hands on their children and they would bless them. But dear friends, because we know and we believe in a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that they were receiving a blessing from their father. Amen. From the Lord Jesus Christ. He blessed them in their time while they were together. And so I want to encourage you to bring your children, bring your grandchildren, bring anybody that you can. Make a special effort in your life to get the children to the Lord. Jessica had opportunity here recently. She went to a breakfast that they held, and there was a young man there that gave a testimony there. This young man, he was not able to tell where he was from, but he lives in a Muslim country, and Middle Eastern descent, and very poor family, but a Christian family. His parents were actually believers. Now, they had suffered a lot of persecution because of their belief. She said he gave testimony that when there was a church in the region that they were allowed to go to and worship, but if they were caught praying or having Bible studies or speaking about Jesus outside of that church, they were persecuted. And he said as a young person, 5 times his family moved because they were run out of the village that they were in because of the faith of his mother and his father. But this young man said that a church that they were in while he was young, they announced one Sunday that they were going to distribute shoeboxes. And so a number of the children came to that place that they were at, and they received shoeboxes. And he said that the gifts that he received inside of that box had an incredible impact on even small things that we don't think about. We go up on the hill and we pack these boxes, and how many of us give thought when we put a toothbrush in a box that we're sending to a child? He said, that was incredibly important to me. I didn't have a toothbrush to care for my teeth. And so he was happy about that. And he said, getting crayons and just being able to color like children often do was incredibly important. But what had the most impact on him, he said, was, and by the way, before I tell you that, he said that he didn't even know where that shoebox came from many years after. Actually, until he came to the U.S. was when he found out where it came from. But he said the most important gift that he received inside of that box was a picture Bible. He received this little picture Bible. And he said, you know what was amazing about that? He said, I grew up in a church with my family. I wasn't a believer yet, but I had grown up in the church. And he said, I had always wanted a picture Bible. And I had prayed for a picture Bible. And he said, they gave all those boxes to all those kids in that place. And he said, the only box that had a picture Bible in it was the one that I got. The one that I got. The Lord brought that to him. And that young man said, that Bible just lit a spark in his heart. And he said the church invited them back and they began the discipleship classes, the greatest journey that they go through when they receive a shoebox. And he said, I come to faith in Christ as a direct result of what the Lord did through that shoebox. And he shared with them, he said that he looked and he read that Bible over and over. As a matter of fact, one of the reports they get in this part of the world, we take for granted our Bibles. Most of us have a stack of them that never get opened. We're probably lucky if we read the one that we should on a regular basis. They said that the average person, when they get a Bible there in the Middle East, when they pass these out, the average person reads through the New Testament 6 times in the first 6 to 24 months after they receive it. And I won't ask anybody I won't go around the room and ask you how many times you read the full New Testament in the last 6 to 24 months. But what I'm telling you is that the Lord is using His Word. That's what it is. It's His Word, and He is using it. And this young man, now he's in his early 20s. He's saved. His faith is in Christ. He's living here in the U.S. As a matter of fact, he's going to a Bible college here in the U.S. And he shared with them that everything that he's doing is in his life. He's going to school. He's getting a pilot's license. There's a number of things that he's working on. All of it with the goal that he can go back to his country and he wants to give out shoeboxes and he wants to share the gospel is really what it is. He wants to go back to his people and share the gospel with them that changed his life. What an amazing thing. Jesus said, suffer them. allow them. Forbid them not to come unto me. In other words, bring them unto me. And I've been telling you this for a while, and maybe you'll get tired of hearing it, but I don't care. I'm going to tell you anyway, that I believe with all my heart that Jesus is coming after young people right now. He is. He is coming after young people. We're seeing, you know, just the scholarship things that they changed, the legislation here in Ohio that has changed so that more scholarships are available. There's almost no family out there that can't get a scholarship to go to a school like Gilead Christian. And maybe even a full ride for a lot of people. And then in the public schools, the Lord, through this LifeWise program, we're bussing 140-some kids every week out of Highland where we go and we teach them the Bible. That little girl that walked in a week ago and said, "What's a Bible?" Here in a few weeks, she's going to know what a Bible is. And matter of fact, she's not only going to know what a Bible is, she's going to get to know the God of that Bible. Amen? And my prayer is that God will take His Word just the way He did with me and with many of you, and He will change her heart and save her for all eternity. Amen? And so for us, for those that are already saved and those that have a relationship with Christ, then I really believe that we need to double down on our efforts to bring them to Him. I just want to encourage you, if you're a parent or if you're a grandparent, to do everything you can to not only bring your kids to church, bring them to Sunday school. You know what? It'd be good for you to be in Sunday school too. Children of all ages learn. We have wonderful Sunday school teachers here in this church. And you know what? A lot of the truth that I have learned about the Lord Jesus Christ in my life and that led up to my salvation, even though it was many years down the road, I learned in the Sunday school classes and in all the various worship services that we have here in this church. I want to encourage you today that you would come alongside of what Jesus is doing and be involved. You know, today we're having that fundraiser. The sole reason for that is not only to fellowship, but it's also to raise funds so that we can ship the boxes. It costs money to ship the boxes to them. If you don't believe me, take a shoebox-sized box, fill it to the brim, and ship it across the world and find out what that cost you. It's not cheap. But what's great about this box is that when it goes, the gospel goes with it. They receive a copy of the gospel and they're encouraged to participate in discipleship classes. And as I've shared with many of you, I know a pastor that I've served with in the Philippines. He won't even give the kids the boxes until they've completed the discipleship classes. He said, "No, you come to the classes first and then we'll give you the box." And he's using that, you know, to the maximum effort to make sure that they're reaching people for Christ. If you're here today and you don't know yourself this Jesus that I'm talking about, I want you to know that you can, if you would be willing to humble yourself as a little child. Just as Jesus said, and all that means, oftentimes I look back at my life and I realize that I had to dethrone myself. We're prideful people. Brother Lance shared the verse from Luke chapter 9 this morning. If any man will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me. There's only one seat on that throne in your heart, and you both can't sit on it. If Jesus is going to be king, you got to come down. Amen? But I'll tell you what, it wasn't a bad thing. I don't know why I waited so long. I wish I'd have done it a whole lot. I would have saved myself. Brother Lance was talking about the difficulties and the issues that sin has brought into our lives and into our families. Boy, I sure could have saved a lot of those. We're not completely perfect now. That process of sanctification will be perfected and completed when we draw our first breath in glory. Amen. But boy, I could have saved a whole lot of trouble between now and then. And so I don't only pray for these children that we're trying to reach, I pray for all of you. And I believe that Jesus brings people here to this place every week, that He wants to know Him, that He loves, and that He's encouraged somebody to bring them to Him. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to do the same thing for you that he's done for these other children. He wants to lay his hands on you. He's praying for you. And he wants to bless you. Will you receive what he is offering?